Genesis chapter number 5. I've preached out this chapter, but I'll be honest with you. I got something a little new for you, a little thoughtful for you, and just a thought I had about this chapter. I'm excited this morning to preach. And I want you to look at Genesis 5 and 21, then I'll read down through verse 27. And Enoch lived 65 years and begat Methuselah. And Enoch walked with God after he begat Methuselah 300 years and begat sons and daughters. And all the days of Enoch were 365 years. And Enoch walked with God, and he was not, for God took him. Now, the reason, you say, I don't even know what that means. I'll get to you in a minute. I like it, too. And Methuselah lived 185 years and begat Lamech. And Methuselah lived, after he begat Lamech, 782 years. And verse 27, and all the days of Methuselah was 969 years, and he died. Now, let me give you a few facts from this passage. First of all, Methuselah lived the longest on earth of any man, 969 years. His name means until it's sent. And he was talking about the universal flood. Don't let this bunch of liberals and this bunch of people that studied the climate ever tell you it's a general flood. It was a worldwide flood. It was a universal flood. It covered every place on this planet. And by the way, they don't want to believe that because it pokes holes in their theory of evolution and their theory of time. Somebody help me preach. I'm telling you, Methuselah lived 969 years until then the flood came. Then another fact, Methuselah's father was Enoch. And that's my message this morning. Here's what I'm preaching on. Methuselah's father. That's what I have thought on. Let me say three introductory things about Enoch. He had an unusual experience with God. You said, how did he get saved? Anyhow. Well, it was kind of unique. When I seen Dustin Mallory about that baby here, you know, you really feel an obligation to be in church with her, don't you? And, oh yeah, you do. Because, you know what happened? I could just see it. One day, Mrs. Enoch come up to him and said, you know, Poppy, we're going to have a baby. I remember the first time Marguerite done that to me. And I said, how are we going to pay for it? And she said, well, don't you still believe God supplies the need? Oh, Lord. Hate it when we unusual. You said when he got saved, he got saved when they had the baby, and then he walked 300 years for God. He had an unusual experience with God. He also had an unusual extent of his walk. The Bible just doesn't say a lot about him, but just said he had a testimony to please God because he walked with God. You said, how long did he walk? He walked 300 years with God. Whew. He also had an unusual exit. Now, I am getting happy right now. He's walking with God, talking with God. And the Bible says, and if you read Genesis chapter 5, and I didn't bring this out because I got too much to preach. It is the funeral chapter of the Bible. It just said, and he died, 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 and he died. But it didn't say that about Enoch. He walked with God and was not. You said, what happened to him? I'll tell you what happened to him. He got translated. The Bible said he got translated over in the book of Hebrews. He got raptured. He didn't see death. By the way, that kind of thrills my soul, because I believe we're living at 11:59 on God's timetable. And I believe I may experience what Enoch experienced, and that is not having to go to a graveyard. One of these days, I believe God just may say, "It's time, son. You've been walking for me. Now it's time for you to come up." Woo. Now there's three things I want to give you this morning about Methuselah's father. And I want to say these three things to all the fathers and mothers and children that's here. I can't preach anything more important. I think the hope of America is found in the Father. A lot of times we don't say that. And no disrespect to you ladies, none at all. And shouldn't be taken. But the hope for America is men starting to be men of God. And living for God. And doing what's right. And doing what's right in church. And doing what's right at home. Doing what's right at work. Somebody say amen. Let me say number one. Be sure you're on the right path. Bible said he walked with God. Be sure you're right on the right path. You say, how do I get on that path? You got to get saved. If there's a daddy here, or a mother here, or a young person here, the only way to get on the right path is to get saved. Amen. You can't get on the right path if you're not saved. You're on the wrong path already. You're going to destruction. There ain't no other way to do it. You're on the way down. Whew. I thank God I'm saved. I thank God my children were raised in a Christian home their whole life. They never saw me in a sin, in my sinful nature before I was saved. They saw John Smith, the preacher, and the Father. I'm glad of that. I'm glad they didn't experience me living a reckless life before them. Oh, Lord. Hey, men, hey, women, let's think about it. You need to live right. And be on the right path. Now I'm going to give you two things here. And I don't mean to cut anybody. I'm just telling the truth. The Father's the key in the family. Family ends up spiritual because of the Father. Family ends up in church because of the Father. I'm not negating the mother's influence, but I'll give you an illustration to give you so I can really make it plain to you. I was down in North Carolina preaching one of the churches, one of my friend's church. And I was there, and there was a couple there that was there. I preached Monday through Friday, and that couple was there all week. And this man and his wife raised their hand for 4 nights. I told the pastor after they had rejected God on Thursday night, I said, I want to go see him. I said, will you take me? He said, oh, yeah. He said, it'll be about close to church time. It'll be about 5:30. I said, I don't care. And you know, you'll be surprised. You know what I did? And no disrespect for the lady. I went to the daddy. First. Because most women got a soft heart, and they usually are easier to get saved than men are. But if you get the man saved, the woman will follow. So I went to that man and I led him to Jesus. His wife was a little reluctant. I said, but hold it, honey. Listen, he just got saved. Here's what got it. He said, sweetheart, I want you to have what I have. And she melted And they were saved. Can I tell you what? If there's any spirituality in the home, it'll be the Father that puts it there by living a Christian life. I want to tell you, amen on that. And number two, the Father sets the spiritual direction. You're the high priest of the family. You set the tone. If you love God, if you read the Bible to your children, if you do what's right, they are going to make it. But if you don't, God help you. Saddest story I ever heard. And it does not originate with me. A friend of mine told me, I read it in a Christian Chronicle also. Young girl, 18 years old, commits suicide in Chicago. She left a note. And most people that commit suicide leave a note. She said, Mama, I want to thank you for how sweet you were all my life. But she said, I want you to tell my wicked daddy I'll meet him in hell. My God. How many of us parents are responsible for the rebellion and the wickedness of our children because we didn't raise them right? We weren't the spiritual leader. God help us this morning. I want all y'all to know it. You may have different responsibilities now, but you're still a dad. Amen. Hey, your kids are still going to ask advice, and they're going to ask you to show them the right way even when they get older. By the way, I want to tell you, they wasn't no problem to me at all until they got 18. And then after that, every decision is a tough decision because it's going to be life-changing because they're making it. And they need a good godly example to help them. I'm going to just ask you, Daddy, you on the right path? Husband, are you on the right path? You said, well, it's too late now. No, it's not too late now. Dear God, you still got children? You still got a family? You said, well, I blew it in the past. Hold on! Why not let God take you right now and make the best out of you right now? God have mercy on us. Now listen secondly. Won't you hear this? Not only be sure you're on the right path, but number two, be sure you are going at the right pace. First of all, be sure you're not going too slow. I'm going to tell you what. Both of my kids made professions when they were 5 and 6. Now, one of them later on in life decided that wasn't real, and he got saved later. But I'm glad we taught him the stuff. I'm glad we sat down with them and led them to Jesus. But here's what happens. Sometimes we go too slow. We think, well, let's not get too heavy on this religion thing. Let's just make them little fanatics. Why not? We got a group of teenagers right now that I believe the Lord, they love God. They're on their way down to serve God, to stay a whole week in a place and just hear preaching. Where'd that come from? That come from a dad and mom that said, that's my priority. Am I preaching? Right down the line. Don't go too slow. Hey, start Bible reading immediately. Start praying immediately. Start loving on them immediately. Hey, my little granddaughter, I got to go by, and my daughter and son-in-law, they are great parents. They're doing a great job, and I thank God for them. Me and Marguerite just around for one thing, spoil them. But they're raising her. And Brooke was in this morning, said, Papa, and then when she said, left, she said, amen. By the way, how many of you all believe phone an amen at a Baptist preacher just like phone red meat at one? Somebody say amen. You say, why are you so charged up this morning? Aren't you tired? No, I'm charged up. I have my little granddaughter say amen. Some of you ain't seen many amens, but I thank God she did. Yeah. See, sometimes we go too slow. By the way, we ought to put it right in that they, if you do it when they're young, I want you to know something. They'll want to be in church. They'll be thrilled. It ain't going to be a have to come to church. They'll want to come. But be sure you're not too speedy. Heard one dad, I thought he blew my mind. He come to me, he said, I'm having a problem teaching my boy Bible. I said, well, what are you teaching him? He said, well, I've been talking to him about the sovereignty of God and justification. And so, I said, how old is he? He said, 3. I said, hold it. How about teaching about Jonah and the whale? How about teaching about the stories first? And I doubt they have a clue what sovereignty is. And I don't even think you do. And I love it when some preachers preach. They just have to do this. And because they're afraid of it, or for some reason, they'll get up and preach sovereignty. Then they'll say, but I'm not a Calvinist. By the way, I have some people call me Calvinists that are not independent Baptists. And I want to be honest with you, it's a compliment. Because that means I preach salvation by grace and you're kept by the power of God. Somebody say amen. But see, here's what you do. And by the way, preacher's kids and deacon's kids and kids that's in people in the public eye view, everybody wants them to be like our daddy. Hey, one of the teachers, they're individuals. Because they're a preacher's child doesn't mean they're going to be the best verse teller. And because they're a deacon's child doesn't mean... See, that ain't nothing right about that. They're individuals. Don't try to make one of my kids a missionary or a preacher. God will do that. But I'll set the stage by a spiritual direction that they'll want to do that. See, all of this is a matter of timing. Then lastly, and I'm done, be sure you're going to the right place. The Bible said the Enoch walked of God and was not. Now I'm about to shout right there. He is a picture. I'm going to move around here a little bit because this is exciting. He's a picture of you and me. Not happening to die, and the Lord says, come up hither. Woo! I know some of you might not study it. Some of you may came from other churches and they didn't teach it right to you. But I want to tell you, there is a rapture. It's not to be confused with the second coming. Because the second coming, we go up at the rapture. We live during the tribulation period in heaven. Then after that, we come back with the Lord on white horses down to the earth. And that's the second coming. You know what he's a picture of? Just think about this now. How many of y'all saved? Raise your hand if you're saved. Hold them up there. You saved? Just think about this holy thing, man. Maybe you got a little shout in you here. Close your eyes, man. To think of this, when you open them up, now do this for me. Flicker them, just twinkle them. You know how long that took you? 11 hundredths of a second. And God's going to take us up in a twinkling of an eye. Bet you I, Dave. You did it. 11 hundredths of a second. That quick. That quick. You're in there. That's what happened to Enoch. He went from this earth into heaven. That quick. Hey, people. Most important thing in your life is that you're going to the right place. If I died today, or if the Lord come today, I have no confusion about it. I'm going to the right place. If something happens to me or my loved one, hey, we're going to the right place. Amen. You say, where are you going? I know I'm going, okay? I ain't no ifs, buts, nothing. I'm going to heaven. If I die right now, I taught them in the young adults class today, said, what do you do when you die? What are you going to be like in heaven? I said, you're going to have a soul body. A body not made with hands, eternal into heaven body. Amen. Made by God. It's not the best. The best is yet to come.
Amen.
At the resurrection.
Right.
But it'll know what's going on.
Right.
It will know what's going on because there's joy in the presence of the angels over one sinner that repenteth. The Bible said they cry under the altar. How long, O Lord? Let me tell you something. If I die today, my spirit and soul's in heaven. Whew. Hold it. But if you die today, unsaved man, unsaved woman, unsaved young person, you're on your way to hell. You're going to the wrong place. No hope. Have you really been saved? Or you just take the church for granted? Well, I'm a member of a church. No, no. Have you really trusted Christ? Because if you haven't, you're going to the wrong place. If you have, you're going to the right place. Bow your heads with me.